Welcome back to Life and Leadership. I'm John Rector, your host. And today I wanted to share a special interview. I work with a nonprofit organization in Central East Austin, Texas, called Mission Possible Austin. And we started this great video series of these interviews called Missional Moments. Now, leading through crisis has been a very hot topic for us because, as you probably know, if you're listening as we're recording, we're coming out of, hopefully soon, the global crisis or the global pandemic of COVID-19, the coronavirus. And it's forced organizations, churches, ministries, all to shift overnight. And this has just been probably the craziest thing we've ever seen in our lifetime. There's always been these different types of crises, but now to have something to literally force you to adapt overnight like this is just unheard of. So as leaders, we expect crisis. We expect things to happen. I mean, that's what we get paid for. That's what we feel the calling of leadership is, to step up in crisis and lead through that. And so today I want to share this episode called Missional Moments with my friend Holland Gregg. Holland, you'll hear in the episode a little bit, but he is the church planner, lead pastor of Eastside Community Church. That's a little bit over 3 years old at this point, 4 years if you include kind of his plant, his core team, kind of going a year before, which my wife and I and our family had the pleasure of being a part of and still are a part of this church. And they partner with this organization, Mission Possible Austin. But one of the reasons I wanted to share this episode on my podcast is because, again, the heart of this podcast is life and leadership, the balance. How can we have healthy lives to help us lead better as leaders, and how our leadership really does impact other people's lives, whether it's people that work for us or people that we hold influence with. Our life and leadership matter. And my friend Holland is a great guy. I love serving with him and just learning from him. And I've been impressed with how calm and how he's been leading through this crisis and really just stepping up in this crisis. So again, Holland Gregg, pastor of Eastside Community Church. It's about a 15-minute interview. I'd love for you to tune in and listen. Not only is it really cool to hear about what he's doing in East Austin, but it's also really encouraging. He gives kind of a word of encouragement to all of us from our faith and talks about how God is in control. And it's just really positive. So I really encourage you, take about 14, 15 minutes to listen to the interview. And I guarantee you it'll bless you. So tune in. Here's my friend now, Holland Gregg.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Missional Moments with Mission Possible Austin. I'm John Rector. I'll be your host today. And I'm excited to have Holland Gregg on the video chat today. Holland, how are you?
Doing great, man.
Yeah, Holland's not only a good friend of mine, he's also my pastor at Eastside Community Church and my boss. So I have to be on my best behavior today. No, I'm just kidding. So I just want to start off today, Holland. We're doing this Missional Moments series, just talking a little bit about interviewing different ministry leaders in the Austin area and how what you do, who you are, and just a little bit about how you had to adapt and what you're doing differently to still share the gospel and serve those in need. So first, tell us about who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, my name's Holland, and I'm a pastor at Eastside Community Church. And as John shared, we go to church together. I'm one of the elders and teaching pastor there. And we started the church a little over 3 years ago, meeting in Mission Possible's building. So partnering with Mission Possible to try to be a loving presence in the neighborhood, to live incarnationally and missionally, to love and serve the people and the families living there on the east side around 12th and Chacon. So we've been going, a little over 3 years. Lived in the area for a while first and was just serving with Mission Possible in some of the different ministries like Big Fish Club, Fuse, which are outreaches to teens and elementary age kids and their families. And so, we did that for a while, started the church, and over the last 3 years have seen more and more people from the community become a part of what we're doing to join our church, seeing people come to faith and find community and find friendship and be discipled and equipped to do what the Lord has called them to do. So it's been awesome. I love it. I love being a pastor. It's a weird time, for everyone now, a weird time to be a pastor and trying to figure out what it looks like to lead a church through this, but grateful for the privilege to be able to do this.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the hardest things, I think, even for Mission Possible and other ministries. We're just such a highly relational organization and ministry and church at ECC. So making that change has been, especially overnight, has been pretty hard for a lot of people. I mean, everyone, I mean, especially globally, this is not just an Austin thing or, you know, natural disasters. It kind of forces you to have to adapt quickly. You know, a lot of people are talking about 9/11 was probably the most recent national crisis that kind of made people adapt, but nothing like this, at least in our lifetime. So what are some of the different ways that you and ECC have been able to adapt or collaborate strategically to in order to adapt to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, so I mean, like a lot of other churches and organizations and stuff, we've shifted everything to online, and so lots of Zoom meetings, just Zooming all day long. I used to spend the majority of my time meeting with people in person, having tacos, having coffee, talking to different people, sharing the gospel or doing discipleship, going through the Bible with people, doing counseling sessions or accountability meetings. And so most of my time was spent with people. And so now a lot of my time just personally is spent on Zoom or on the phone, and trying to stay at home as much as possible. And so I also have 4 kids at home, which makes it really hard to work from home, which is why I am in my car right now, because it is just pure chaos in my house with 4 kids quarantined. My wife is doing an awesome job, continuing doing homeschool, loving them, thinking of fun stuff to do with them. But yeah, it's really hard to work from home most of the time. And so I'm either in my car on calls or I'm walking around my neighborhood, walking sometimes 8 or 9 miles a day, just on my phone, doing discipleship or counseling meetings. And so getting a lot of exercise. So a lot of just kind of personal changes in my rhythms. And then just as a church, all of our community groups have shifted from meeting in homes to meeting over Zoom or Facebook video chat. And our services are online and everything, right? And so one thing that we've tried to do, though, in order to make it still feel relational and people still feel connected, is we've tried to involve a lot of people in our services that we're doing online. And so instead of just a video of me giving a message and our worship leader singing some songs, we have people who will lead a prayer, people who will lead a kids lesson, different 3 or 4 different people reading scripture, another family leading communion. So trying to involve as many people as we can without making it too complex, so that we can see each other's faces. We've started having different members of the church post devotional videos that we share on our website and social media and stuff, so that we can hear from each other and see each other's faces. Trying to think of as many ways as we can to help people see each other and stay connected. A lot of churches are having to do stuff like this. We're trying to learn from those churches, and maybe things we're doing are helpful for others as well. But those are some of the adjustments. Additionally, a lot of our members have lost work and lost hours. So being furloughed or laid off or drastic reduction of hours at work. And so trying to think through how to minister to them, we've had people delivering food. Hey, if you got extra money, Cash App someone some money, get them through until stimulus checks or until unemployment comes through. And even trying to think creatively of how to find work for people to do in this time. And so, those are some of the adjustments. Some of that stuff works really well. Some of our older folks that don't really use, that aren't online and don't use social media and Facebook and don't navigate websites very well, we've tried to just check in with over the phone and call regularly to stay connected with them. But yeah, that's some of what we're doing.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I was really encouraged by our Good Friday service still being thinking collaboratively. Every year we do a joint Good Friday service with smaller churches in East Austin. And we had, what, I think five churches or four or five churches that participate, something like that. So just to talk about that a little bit, how we could still collaborate even online, and what did that look like practically for us?
Yeah, so in the past, we have hosted this for a while. This is a tradition that started before our church planted, with some other East Austin churches, where there were some new church plants that were kind of smaller and decided, hey, let's bring all our churches together for a Good Friday service and a show of unity in the body of Christ. And we can see other churches and interact with other people. And it'll be a cool thing. Just to remember, hey, we're all on the same team and we love each other, and we might be at different churches, but we serve the same Jesus. And so started this tradition of joint Good Friday services. And then when we started our church, we joined in on that and actually hosted it, because they needed a place to host it. And so we've hosted it for the past few years. So churches like Salina Street Church, Dwell Church, a few churches that used to be involved, The Well, H2O Church. Who else was involved? This year, Refuge Community Church, a church that we helped plant with The Well, that was supposed to have their launch, you know, like on Easter, and now, you know, that got delayed. But we were able to all work together. And the way we did that is we had people send in videos, all kind of record a different portion of the service, send them in, and then we spliced them all together. So one church did the introduction, opening prayer, another church did some worship, another church read scripture, another church did the sermon, and so on. And so we all got to kind of see each other's faces, still collaborate together, and ended up being an awesome service and just fun to remember that we're not alone. We're in this thing together, and that other churches, you know, we're friends. We're not territorial or thinking we're the only church in East Austin trying to worship God and serve others. Like, it's just good to remember that, the body of Christ is bigger than one single local church.
Yeah, that's been really encouraging just to see that collaboration still happen. And and those guys are all really good peoples and their churches. So it's been really cool to be able to, you know, offer that up and help each other out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just to kind of wrap up, you mentioned that people are out of work, people have health struggles or are scared of getting sick, trying to manage working from home, those that are working, you know, with you having four kids, and then school on top of that, just everything that's going on, it's kind of getting to that point that they just extended the stay at home order. So what's a word of encouragement, you know, as a pastor to whoever's watching, maybe other ministry leaders who are struggling and they're adapting how to shepherd, or just someone who's watching and thinking, man, I need some encouragement right now. What would you say to us?
Yeah, I think at least just the way my mind works, before a word of encouragement, even just the word of, acknowledgement of like, this is crazy. I'm a very optimistic, kind of happy, joyful person. And sometimes I tend to just be like, everything's fine. It's okay. You know, we're going to move through this. And I think it's been good for me to just kind of slow down and go, this is really crazy. And there's a lot of people hurting, a lot of people who have lost a lot. Without people who've lost work, people who've lost loved ones, people who are, you know, scared. And I think just acknowledging that and recognizing that this really is like a big deal. But then I've kind of been moving from there into a couple of different things. One, the church has faced stuff like this before, throughout history, massive kind of explosions, outbreaks of disease. The early church, right, was persecuted. Christians were being beheaded, crucified, burnt at the stake by the Roman emperor at the time. And none of those things snuffed out the church or were able to put a stop to the work of God and his redemptive plans in the world. And for 2,000 years, the church has continued to persevere and endure through suffering and trials. And so, one, I just kind of remember that and go, yeah, this is really crazy and scary, but the church is in God's hands. Yeah. The world is in God's hands. We really, really are. And he has brought his people through things like this before. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And then, man, the most encouraging thing to me, not only looking backward historically that God has brought his people through hard times before, but looking ahead at the reality, the hope of the resurrection, right? It was just Easter Sunday talking about Jesus being raised from the dead. And not only that as like a one-time miracle, like, wow, that's amazing that Jesus rose. But what his resurrection is a preview and a foretaste of our resurrection, of the hope that we have that one day we're going to be raised to everlasting life in the presence of God forever. Bible says in Isaiah and in Revelation that God is going to swallow up death forever, wipe away every tear, no more sickness, no more sadness, no more social distancing. We're going to be resurrected, glorified together again, the way things were meant to be. And that one thought really, man, I just cling to that, to just go, this will not last forever. Even if it lasts for the rest of my lifetime, you know, like we don't think it will, we're praying it'll slow and stop. But even if the rest of our lifetime, you know, was this really difficult experience of suffering, like, man, we have eternity ahead in a renewed creation in the presence of God. So, man, that's what I think of. I just cling to the hope of the resurrection.
Amen. Awesome. Well, thanks, Holland, for that word and for the interview. I know times are crazy, especially with 4 kids. So I appreciate you, man, and just love you. Thanks for being my pastor and being on this segment today.
Thanks, man. Love you, brother.